Today's scripture is found in the bulletin or on the screen. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now they were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Syria, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Peter addresses the crowd. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. On the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even my slaves, both men and women, in whose days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day."
Peggy, good job. I don't know how many people could read all those names and get them perfectly right. And remember what I'm always telling people. They're all dead. There's no one now alive who really knows how to pronounce them. You may have done it perfectly. That's what you call grace, Peggy. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, for the celebration, for the spirit of joy and life, because it is Pentecost, and because you have touched us with your precious spirit. Be with us in all that we do this week. Give us opportunities to share that good news and make others glad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I realized something this week. At Christmas, we get a big deal. At Christmas, we get lights, We get Christmas music, usually beginning before Halloween. We get Christmas trees and movies and snow people. On Easter, we also get a big deal. We get Easter eggs hanging from tree branches. You ever seen that in somebody's front yard? You get pictures of the Easter bunny with the kids. You get Easter baskets filled with all kinds of toys and candy. You get Easter egg hunts. You get a lot of joy at the church. Well, today is Pentecost, and what do we get? I drove to the church this morning, honestly expecting on this day of wind and fire, honestly expecting to see bonfires in front yards and people with fans making the wind blow, everyone wearing red, even red shoes, dancing with new joy for God and a whole new way of living life. And what did I see? Nothing unusual at all. Nothing unusual. Just the everyday, average, normal stuff. Now, let me tell you something. Normal and Pentecost should never be used in the same sentence. Those two words simply do not go together. A Baptist preacher and his wife decided they needed a dog. Now, always mindful of their congregation, they knew that the dog must also be a Baptist. So they visited a kennel, and they explained their needs to the manager. He had just the dog for him. When the dog was brought out, the manager began giving it commands. Fetch the Bible. Well, that dog ran over to a bookcase, looked through the titles, found the Bible, pulled it off the shelf, put it between his teeth, and brought it back to his new family. And the man said, find the 23rd Psalm. Now the dog leafed through the Bible, which is not easy when you have paws and not hands, no opposable thumbs to help. And he found the correct passage. Well, the preacher and his wife saw that and they said, oh, this is our dog. And they took the dog home. Now, that evening, parishioners came to visit, and they were all so impressed by the number of verses that new dog could find. Finally, one of the guests asked, well, can the dog do normal tricks? Let's see, said the preacher. Pointing his finger at the dog, the preacher commanded, heel! Well, the dog immediately jumped up on a chair, placed one paw on the preacher's forehead, and began to howl. The preacher turned to his wife in utter disbelief and shock. We've been swindled. That manager sold us a Pentecostal dog. On this day, 2,000 years ago, the first Pentecost, something amazing happened. Split flames of fire descended from heaven and landed on people's heads. But that wasn't the amazing thing. People heard a mighty rushing wind. But that wasn't the amazing thing. Great miracles were done that day. But that wasn't the amazing thing. People understood languages they had never understood before. But that wasn't the amazing thing. That one great thing is easy to miss among all that was happening on that day. But it's there. It's in there. When these Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, they immediately began to witness boldly for Jesus. Throughout all ages, the only way to truly know if someone is spirit-filled or not is not whether he or she speaks in tongues, or even if they perform miracles. The only sure way to know if someone is spirit-filled or not is to ask, do they witness boldly for Jesus? The disciples were not given Holy Spirit power so they could speak in tongues and make miracles happen. The disciples were given the power of the Holy Spirit so they could take the good news of Jesus Christ and the resurrection to the entire world. The power to proclaim Jesus in word and deed is evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I read an article this week that not only caught my attention, but also tugged at my heartstrings more than a little bit. It was about a lady named Beatrice, who is 73 years old, a grandmother, a former auto worker, who lives in a homeless shelter. During the day, she can be found in a food line, or seeking shade under the awning of a mobile street clinic. At night, she sleeps on a floor mat at a homeless shelter. In this country, 73 years old and homeless. There's something wrong with that. Unfortunately, people over 55 are the fastest growing group of people who make up our homeless population. At the end of the day, do you think Beatrice or our Bethel men, do you think they will care that we speak in tongues or that we boldly proclaim the gospel by feeding them, sheltering them, and loving them in Christ's name? Which one? Which gives the greater testimony to the presence of the Holy Spirit? I have a huge challenge for you today, since Pentecost is such a huge day itself. Every time you see the color red this week, pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you and immediately